All right, everybody. So, this topic related to classroom structure, curriculum structure, classes that are mandatory, classes that we feel students should be learning either in place of some of those things or in addition to some of those things. It sparks a conversation or discussion at least once every school year. If not more, but at least every time the school year turns around, we see a picture or a post or a meme or something related to, well, I don't know how to do my taxes, but I've yet to use the Pythagorean theorem, that type of conversation. And, you know, it's funny to see it and it has some validity to it. But I wanted to shed some light on why both sides are fair of this conversation. And so I'm just going to go right into it. I'm going to just talk from my heart and from what I've experienced. And we're just going to decipher both sides. Okay, so this is a little bit out of the norm of my structure. But I feel in this conversation, one side is so obvious that I don't really need to split that into a segment. And the other sides might not be as obvious. Okay, the biggest reason why parents or teachers or adults in general feel that, wait a minute, we don't focus so much on classes like money management and time management and choosing careers correctly, self-confidence and nutrition, these type of things. We don't focus on those as much as we focus on composition and literature, having the required amount of math credits and science credits to be ready for college and things like that, foreign language and stuff like that. We don't focus on it because if you think about it, the standard, especially when I was in high school, was you had to have 4 years of English, at least 3 years of math, 3 years of science, 3 years of history or social studies, so to speak, and 2 years of foreign language. That was the minimum when I was graduating high school back in 2000. A lot of that has changed where they may have increased certain credits or they reclassify what can be considered as the standard of one of those classes. For instance, you might not have to take the standard algebra, geometry, algebra 2, trigonometry, or pre-cal track. You might can have algebra 3 now. There's certain other statistics classes or something like that that you might can take that still satisfy the requirements. So the standard requirements of yesterday have been updated or have evolved and created somewhat more leeway into what classes are the standard requirement, but still they are the standard requirement. And so I get the argument that says, well, what about budgeting your money? What about understanding credit and how that works? What about things like, hey, basic car maintenance? Can you fix the little things on your car? Can you manage a household? What about cooking and stuff like that? I understand all of those things. And the reason why I feel that it is a valid question and a valid argument is because I remember asking my mother why I had to learn Shakespeare in high school. Why did we have to spend so much time on literature of yesterday? And I mean far yesterday. And my mother, just in paraphrasing what she said, she basically told me that you can choose to become whatever you want to be in life, but people are expecting you to be well-rounded in a variety of subjects. I can be the best math student, and that's hypothetical because I'm not even close. But if I'm the best math student that I could be, and that's all I knew, it will be hard for me to enact or interact my knowledge in a bigger setting outside of the math walls that I set up. It will be hard for me to socially adapt to the work environment or to a teaching environment, to a learning environment, because all I see is the numbers. I don't see the way people interact verbally, the mannerisms that might reflect what we've learned in terms of characterization, from literature. Like, wow, he's acting like so-and-so, but it's funny because that's his swag or his charm, but it reminds me of this character that I read in this book or at this time. Things like that. My mother was basically saying, you don't understand it right now, but it's to groom you to be a well-rounded person. If you know a little bit about chemistry, a little bit about biology, a little bit geometry, a little bit composition and literature, a little bit about U.S. history, world history, you might not know that there were Henry the 6th, 7th, 8th, and so on, you know, like that. You might not know Louis the 15th or the 16th, but the fact that you can just name names and know that they were from empires in early Europe, that says something other than, wow, they have a bit of culture outside of what they see every single day of their lives. So I understand that aspect. But if we can understand that aspect as it relates to the basic requirements we need for college, I understand why people feel like, well, okay, why can't banking and finance become mandatory? Why can't learning how to establish a budget and home economics be mandatory? Why can't we learn how to establish households and run households financially and, you know, logistically? Why can't we learn those things? Why can't we have classes about mechanics and self-confidence and building yourself to be a better person? Why can't that be part of the mandatory side? I understand the question. I just don't think everybody understands why it cannot be. Okay. I totally agree that some of that has to be integrated. And if you think about it, it has been integrated longer than we know. And that's where the flip occurs, because I think people don't understand that it has been long integrated. In Savannah, Georgia, where I am from, the high schools here all are geared toward a certain professional track. And when I was in high school, the high schools only were set up for that track. But the way technology has evolved and education has evolved, and you have a bigger online presence than you've ever had, it's down to the elementary schools that are grooming you to go to the middle school, that are grooming you to go to the high school of that same track. Now, I like it and I dislike that for different reasons. One, at 7 and 8 years old, I didn't know what I wanted to become enough to say that this is what I'm going to stick with. I changed my mind a lot. Okay, you know, one minute is a doctor, next minute is a lawyer, next minute is an engineer. And I think I stuck with being an engineer maybe through high school. And then I changed my mind toward the end of high school. I'm like, I don't think this is for me type of feeling, you know. But at the same time, to me, when you're in high school and you attend a certain high school for that particular track, the classes that you are trying to take in that particular program are distinct for that path. So you may not need to take everything that an engineer is taking if you're going into the medical side. Those classes are more geared for medical professions. Same thing if you were studying law, studying business, education, or anything of the like. It's when you don't have an idea of who you want to become or what you want to be where that seems like it's a conflict. And I understand that, but that's where guidance counselors come in. That's where career services comes in, okay? That's where just going to the library and researching it for yourself comes in. Because what we can fall into the trap of believing is that the school system is responsible for everything. I didn't learn how to bank and finance just in a school system. Now, I took that class as an elective in 12th grade. You see what I'm saying? It wasn't mandatory, but it was an elective. And I took that class based off the fact that I knew a little bit of something going into that class because I was taught about banking and finance at home. We wasn't rich by any means, but my mother set us down and taught us how to write a check using old checkbooks. She taught us how to record it in the ledger and keep a balance and what an overdraft was and why you shouldn't want to have an overdraft at all. We were taught that even before we had, like, decent money to use with it. It's like, oh, okay, why do I need to know how to write a check when I'm just holding $20 right now? You know, but she was grooming us. And so I understand why we feel the classroom setting should offer mandatory courses like that. But if they offer elective courses, or if that school is geared toward a particular program, it's already there and we don't even know it. It's already there. But what we can't do is put the onus on the school system and take it away from the household. There's a line between the household and the school system that says, as the teacher teaching the subject of algebra, teaching the subject of chemistry and things like that, you know way more than I do because you studied this, you have a degree in this, you went to college for this. Therefore, you are the expert that can teach them far better than I can. And I'm not saying it's all about the degree. So please don't read that far into that. Because there are times where, you know, you might have a degree in something, but that doesn't make you an expert because of the curriculum that you are forced to teach. I'm not saying parents don't know more on certain things. But on the most part, I'm not going to say that I know more about chemistry than a person who holds a degree in chemistry. I won't do it. And so at home, that's not my role. My role at home is to instill enough in you to go out into that classroom setting and learn. I'm supposed to be the one that instills self-confidence in you. I'm the one that's supposed to teach you about being a better person and being a better human being to others. I'm supposed to teach you that. I'm supposed to send you out into the world with some basic skills of how to handle yourself, whether it's self-defense or just handle yourself in certain situations that may tempt you to act out of character. I'm supposed to equip you with that. I didn't learn how to sew a button by taking the home economics class. I learned it by my grandmother and my mother and my father. I didn't learn how to cook in home economics class. I did trial and error at home. I got my arm popped by grease before. Like, oh, I mean, I don't need to stand that close to it when I'm putting something in the frying pan. I learned these things by being around people who thought enough of us to teach it to us. Today's society is not groomed that way. Today's society is so fast paced that we don't have time to cook decent meals at home because we get home at weird hours. We don't have time to go over homework with our children if they're even doing it, if we even require them to do it. We don't have time to sit and read with them. We try to make time, but something's going to get chopped. Either you're not going to sleep as long as you should sleep because you feel like, okay, I owe this time to my family. We have to establish this family guideline to make sure that the homework is done, that the children are fed, that we have a conversation, that we interact. That's what we've been ingrained to become as people. But our lifestyles and our careers don't follow that pattern anymore. They don't. And so that takes it away from us. But we still in that same realm can't force a school system to say, well, you know what, it's because I don't have time to teach my children how to establish credit or build credit because I really don't have a clue. It's up to you to do it. No, it is not. It's not mandatory. I took a banking and finance class because I wanted to. I wasn't required to. It wasn't a mandatory course. My parents didn't force me to take it. But I, at 17 or 16 years old, thought enough of my money for me to say, let me enroll in that class and see what it's about and see if I can pass this class and learn something from it. What are we telling our students to do? Just make the A, just make the B, or come away with some life lessons that'll carry you further. That's what we have to do. I get the well-roundedness of it. You can be well-rounded in things that are not mandatory, just things that are mandatory. But the problem is we as parents and as society feel like it's the educator's job. You're the first educator. I'm not saying you should know everything and not seek sources on what you don't know, but everything is not a school subject. I don't think you need a whole semester talking about self-confidence to talk about self-confidence. Hold a conversation about it. I don't think you need a whole semester about learning how to budget. Maybe one or two classes, if that. We have continuing education all across these cities. Little workshops that pop up on the weekends or in the summertime that people can take in their own time to learn something so that they can pass it on to those who come behind them. But we cannot rely on the school system to always do that job for us. It's not fair. It's not fair. And so if we are not careful with that, we're going to build a society of people who don't know the things that they should know because we can't teach it to them. And then we're going to feel like, oh, the school system did a disservice to them when they didn't. You want to know where I learned about interest? I first learned it at home, but I learned how to calculate interest in the Algebra 2 class. Compounding interest formula. See what I'm saying? I get the whole laughter around. Well, I'm not going to use the Pythagorean theorem. Yeah, okay, if you ever try to draw something, paint something, build something, you might use more than you think you know. I've tutored fractions and decimals and stuff like that. You use it more than you think you know. You ever had a measuring tape? If you don't, if you cooking in the kitchen, half and fourths and thirds and full cups, two thirds of this, and you got to know certain things. But I learned some of that at home so that when I went to school, it was easier. I'm going to say this last point. When I was in college, when I was in high school, I took algebra, geometry, algebra 2, and then pre-calculus was like algebra and trigonometry. And actually, I took algebra in eighth grade. Excuse me on that. I took algebra eighth grade. By ninth grade, I was in geometry, algebra 2, and then trigonometry. So 12th grade, I took statistics because I did not want to go into calculus because I thought it was so hard. And in my head, I'm thinking, this is the beginning of me not wanting to be an engineer now. I just didn't like calculus like that. So I hurried up. And then like in the first week or two, got my schedule changed. I was like, I got to get out of this class. We got to get me in statistics because I'm trying to graduate with honors and I'm not trying to fail. Okay. So I got into statistics. And when I got into statistics, I said, oh, this is easier for me. Now, did I know exactly what I wanted to do? I felt like I wanted to be around science as a major. I wanted to be somewhat in that realm of either science, science education. I just wasn't feeling the whole engineering thing anymore. Maybe I was intimidating myself. I think that's another topic for another day, too. I think I was talking myself out of that. But at the same time, I said, well, I might major in chemistry or major in some type of science. When I got to college and I was kind of like switching majors between chemistry, computer science, going undeclared or whatever before I got into my health profession, I remember my curriculum. They said, hey, you cannot take college algebra because you've been exempt. I said, been exempt? They said, because of your SAT score in math. I'm like, what in the world? Now I'm thinking, okay, I made a 630, but that exempts me from college algebra. They felt like it is no point in taking it. So I took pre-calculus. The B that I made in pre-calculus in college was a direct reflection of the fact that I took pre-calculus in high school. Same thing with statistics. Same thing with chemistry. Same thing with I took physics in high school. I didn't quite understand it all, but it did help me with a physical science class that I had and even a radiographic physics class that I had in college. This is my point of saying all of that. It wasn't about bragging. This is my point. If we don't give students enough of everything, they're going to go to college, and when they figure out really what they want to become and who they want to become, they're going to struggle because they wasn't introduced to anything. So while you're saying, oh, man, I just don't see where they're going to use the algebra that they're learning, maybe, maybe not. But I sure hope that if that is a maybe, that they have been introduced to it already. I would not want to be the student that decides one day that I want to become something. And then when I look back at the high school transcript that I established for myself, and with the guidance of those who thought I wanted to become something else or felt that I deserved to become something else or needed to go into a different program and to become something else, I hope that at that point, it doesn't look as though I am not prepared for anything to accomplish the new dream that I have. Because that would send students back home undetermined and lacking self-confidence. It's when they hit the real world and that real world is requiring something of them that they did not have preparation for. So between the school system and the home system, there has to be a balance of knowledge so that when they enter the real world on their own and they're in a college classroom that says, whoa, chemistry 1101 or 1111, huh? This is what it is. Whew, I don't remember chemistry in high school. I'm not going to make it through this. That's never the case. I'm not saying it, that everybody who takes it in high school is going to do fine in college. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is preparation matters. If I'm prepared, even if I've seen something of it prior to being in that environment at that time, that's an advantage. So let's kill the argument of why certain classes are mandatory and why certain ones should be mandatory when 9 times out of 10, they already are electives in there and you have to choose to take them. And if they're not there and you feel that they're necessary, start a workshop, start a class in your own time in your community. If you feel people need to know more about car mechanics and they should, then you be the one to teach it. If you feel that they should know more about creative writing, then you be the one to teach it. Give them options before we sit and complain about the school system that we're not helping. I'll be back with more in a minute. Flip the coin over. Hey, thank you again for tuning in and listening to Flip the Coin Over Education Edition. I hope that has helped you in some way. Feel free to share with others. Also, check out my new Instagram page for Flip the Coin Over at Flip the Coin Over. Also on Twitter at Flip the Coin Over. You can find out more about me, T.A. Acker, by visiting my website, www.taacker.com. Check me out on Facebook, T.A. Acker LLC, or on Instagram at T.A. Acker. Look forward to hearing from you soon. Take care.